Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday the 13th.
Yay! Something had to go wrong today.
Well, apparently Centerpoint doesn't like when they're tweeted, so because when I called, they said, we should have you back on by 1:59.
Nice.
I tweeted to them why you don't work, and suddenly my power's on. I do love the power of the Twitter. Good afternoon, people of the Twitterverse, of the face, the Book of Faces, and the people on the pluses of G's and all those people out there.
Yes, yes, we are all over the place. And I also saw a new one. I don't remember what it was, Orkin or something like that.
I don't know. But I know from our new site you'll be able to log in from a lot of places.
Yay! That's so awesome. It's so pretty.
Huh?
I said the new site's so pretty.
Yes, if I ever get to finish it. Thanks a lot, Centerpoint. I was all click, 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 click. I was on a roll this morning. Click, 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 boom. And then the power goes off. It's actually in the middle of talking to Snow White.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. So she's looking at, well, I can't get, you know what, I'm not going to tell you all of our secrets. Just know that you're going to love the new business. You're going to love it.
Yes, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. I've seen it. It's hot. It's sexy.
So here's the bad news for those of you out there listening. You're probably only going to get about 17 to 16 minutes of live news, and the rest of it will be, well, you have to download it to listen. Sorry.
I know, man. It's been a while since we've done one of those.
Yeah, I would change it, but, you know, BT gets all crazy when you do stuff like that. So
yeah,
it starts adding extra hours on. You'll be looking for another show at 5 o'clock. We won't be here. You know, all that kind of business. All right, I do want to take the time to, if my email ever opens. Thank you so much, Centerpoint. My computer is probably even more screwed than it is. Oh, wow, never mind. I cannot tell you about this.
Oh, you want me to tell them about something?
I suppose. Oh, yeah, actually, I can. As you all know, that we're trying to get Ginger to start her own ECA chapter where she is, but she don't want to.
No, Ginger be a lazy bitch.
Yeah, no, you are not. You work very, very hard. but we want to welcome to the ECA Mr. Daniel Starkey, who is a writer for Destructoid. So if you don't have an ECA membership or you have not started a chapter near you, you probably should. You get to hobnob and rub elbows with some of your favorite people in the world. As far as I know, Daniel is like, he's not a geek god, but he's a geek demigod, maybe. So, hello, Daniel. Anyway, moving along.
Either way, he's got a lap that we're going to want to sit in, right?
I don't know about that. I haven't seen him. So, you know, everybody don't get their lap sit in, just so y'all know.
Nah, see, I don't care.
You don't care?
No, I don't care. I don't care. You awesome? All right, I'll sit in your lap.
Yeah, I'm going to hold you to that at PAX.
I'm not scared.
I'm just going to point out somebody. We're going to see what you say about not being scared. I already know you're going to look at me and go, uh-uh.
All right, so what do we got? Inexperienced violent video game players suffer from Macbeth effect.
Wait a minute, run that by me one more time.
Inexperienced violent video game players suffer from Macbeth effect.
Okay, elaborate, please.
Yeah, all right, so I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. According to new research from the University of Luxembourg, violent video games suffer from what researchers describe as the Macbeth effect. Dr. Ooh. Andre Melzer from the University of Luxembourg and Dr. Mario Golwitzer from the Philips University Marburg examined the behavior of 76 players after they played 15 minutes of violent video gameplay. These players were asked to select gift products after playing a violent game. Inexperienced players were more likely to select hygienic products such as shower gel, toothpaste, and deodorant, than more experienced players, researchers came to the conclusion that inexperienced players felt higher moral distress from playing violent games.
Really?
All right. So the need to cleanse, to keep moral purity intact, the Macbeth effect is a psychological phenomenon in which a person attempts to purify oneself in order to cope with feelings of moral distress. We find that Macbeth effect can result from playing violent video games, especially in the games, especially when the game involves violence against humans. We find that Macbeth effect can result from playing violent video games, especially when the game. You know what? You repeated yourself twice here. Anyways. Yeah, so I should read this beforehand. He added that more experienced players use different strategies for coping with violence in games. Most experienced gamers probably don't agree with the notion that when they play a violent game, there's something contained therein that requires coping. Future studies aimed at bridging moral psychology and the effects of violent media will help to reveal how long-term exposure to violent media negatively affects attitudes towards aggression. Okay, I have to ask. At least I'm curious, what were the choices? Did you offer them, like, a gun or soap? Because, you know, of course I want to choose soap. What do I need a gun for? You know, did you offer them anything else, which is, was, like, soap in, like, I don't know, something dumb that they wouldn't have needed anyway, some useless keychain?
I am thinking, no, I don't think they offered it. Did they offer them gamer things? I mean, did you offer some Triforce earrings? I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, because depending on what you're offering, yeah, it's not, it has nothing to do with the video game, I think. I think it probably has to do with what you offered them.
Yeah.
Is why they chose what they did.
I have to concur.
Yeah.
I concur with Ginger there. Ladies and gentlemen out there that have Dish, we've warned you about having Dish. Either you have cable or you go with nothing because you have problems if you decide to go to Dish Network. I'm sorry, Dish. I would like to love you because I would love to leave Comcast and Xfinity behind, much as I love to kick Centerpoint and their nations. But I cannot, unfortunately. I have nowhere else to go. So you Dish people, you do have a choice, cable or leave it alone. Right now, Dish customers still do not have access to cable network AMC, you know, where they show The Walking Dead or Breaking Bad, those shows that you all love. This is following a contract dispute between the two companies, but at least they'll be able to catch the season premiere of Breaking Bad on the web. For one time only, you'll be legally able to watch the further adventures of high school chemistry teacher turned meth dealer Walter White on your laptop. That's right, AMC, also home to popular shows like Mad Men and The Walking Dead, as I just told you, said that it's streaming the episode to give Dish viewers an extra week to switch providers. Dish subscribers will also be able to sign up to stream the episode, beginning just today, this afternoon. Once you've signed up, you'll be able to view the episode at amctv.com live as it airs Sunday night. The news is almost directly opposed to Viacom's decision yesterday to remove its shows from the web, following DirecTV's removal of 26 Viacom channels, including MTV, Comedy Central, and, yes, Nickelodeon. Some of you gamer parents are like, oh, God, no. I know. Several of you fans that are several of you people that are fans of Breaking Bad are probably seeing this as an unfortunate mishap and a side effect as being a Dish Network subscriber. The announcement definitely makes you more sympathetic to AMC, who's doing very well in spite of this. In a press release charmingly titled Dish Breaks Bad on Its Viewers, the cable network claimed that Dish dropped it because of an unrelated lawsuit between the companies. Dish, meanwhile, claims that AMC's high cost to license and low viewership, as well as the availability of AMC content online, led to its decision. You know, Dish, I think you all are a bunch of lying so-and-sos. There is no way that they have low viewership with shows like Breaking Bad and The Walking Dead.
Exactly. Oh, my
no
God.
Way.
Those are huge.
And Mad Men? I don't even watch Mad Men, but I know, you know, what it is. I've been meaning to catch up. At least Xfinity understands where their power lies. You know, I kept seeing something about that when I was watching AMC right before we left for our RTX the night before, that they were asking people, you know, call this number, because they're going to be pulling these shows off the Dish network. And I've been seeing that on a whole bunch of channels. And Dish, I think if you keep doing this, you're not going to have any more people left. You have to leave some of these channels. These are the big channels. These are not like, oh, the Cooking Network 2, you know, we're getting rid of, where nobody really is watching it. You know, I could name you a show on Cooking Network 2 or some of these other channels popping up. But these are big channels you're getting rid of. And The Walking Dead is going into, what, its third, fourth season coming up? And they've picked up some of the other characters from the comic books that people are really going nuts over, like Michonne. So, no, this was not a smart decision.
No, not at all. Not at all, no.
Well, geeks, good luck to you. you know, Xfinity, they may not be the greatest, but they very rarely, if ever, drop a channel. Just saying.
Okay, what do we got? Ooh, another game hacked. Phantasy Star Online 2 hacked.
Already?
Yeah. Sega is investigating a recent hacking incident in Phantasy Star Online 2, the free-to-play sci-fi MMORPG sequel, was hacked so that vital NPC players have to interact with were out of reach, somehow put on high structures that were well out of reach of players. While Sega said, oh my god, that's a big hacking. Oh, wow. While Sega said today that it was investigating the apparent hack, the publisher also said that no player data was compromised in any way. Several Japanese gaming websites are putting the blame squarely on English-speaking players who are allegedly upset that the game lacks global servers. Those accusations aside, Sega is asking players to report any nefarious activities in-game via the Wicked user form. Wicked indeed. Phantasy Star Online 2 is currently available in Japan for PC, with iOS and Android versions planned for release later this year. The game will also be released for the PS Vita sometime next year. North American and European players will get a PC version of the game sometime in 2013. You know, it's an Eastern game, people. If it is us here in the West, I guess, let's not be doing this. We're going to get it eventually anyways, and it's going to be better. We're actually going to have blood. They get, like, green goo.
Yeah.
So.
Or nothing. You just see people getting beat up and nothing. A little spit comes out.
So they get the skimpier outfits, but.
Which makes no sense to me.
No, no, no. We can't see blood, but we can look booty all we want.
We love that ginger. Okay, just so you know, if you're listening live, you got about 8 minutes before we go off. That doesn't mean you can't listen to us later. Or if you're just really hard up, you can call.
No, you totally, you can't. You can't. Not at all. No.
You can call into our line 347-215-7977 and listen to us that way. However, once we're gone from there, we're gone too. So, good luck to you. Right now, interesting stats going on. Game sales were down 29% in the U.S. just this past month in June. The NPD Group's retail sales data report that the U.S. games business did not paint a pretty picture for the month of June. According to GI.biz, the double-digit declines keep mounting as total game industry sales fell 29% to $698.8 million, while software sales, including PC, yes, UPC gamers too, also dipped 27% to $362.8 million. Accessories was the only category to pick up slightly, 4% to $169.8 million. These sales figures represent new physical retail sales of hardware and accessories, which account for only 50 to 60% of the total consumer spend on games. When you consider the preliminary estimate for other physical format sales, such as used and rentals, at $170 million, their estimate for digital format sales, including full game and add-on content downloads, including microtransactions, subscriptions, mobile apps, and the consumer's spend on social network games, at $491 million. All this accounts to bad sales. I can say why the economy is bad, and you people have not given us any leeway on our games. The games are the only people, aside from Steam, I have to give them credit, that have at least allowed us a little more time. Okay, I bought you guys a little more time, by the way. You got 20 minutes now to listen to us.
Nice. Very nice.
Because I rock.
You do. And I'm looking for something to read because, yeah. All right, so vampires. Yay.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th is the right day to show how all vampires die without your help. It's also the best day to show a brand new visually boosted PC version of our fast-paced puzzle game for PC, iOS, and Android. In Vampires, you are the last living vampire fairy.
What the? You know what? No. No.
I know.
Two classes that don't even go together. I'd accept the vampire and a werewolf. You know, Underworld kind of explains the lore. But the rest of fairy, really? No.
Yeah, your goal is to take care of poor vampires who have a hard time to get through the labyrinth into their coffins.
I thought you were the last one.
I know! Dawn is coming, and if they won't make it in time, they never reach their well-deserved rest. To make things worse, vampire hunters set up traps, and now you're the only one who can save them. You can't control vampires directly, but you can manipulate the environment and use paranormal power-ups to ensure that they will arrive for their good day sleep and sound. All right, this is badly translated in the first place. And second, I would like to point out, just like Corey said, we thought you were the last vampire alive.
Yeah. No, of course not. You're the last, I guess, what is it, you're the last vampire fairy?
Yeah, I guess. All right.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. Oh, that's loud. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, I did. I've been getting those, too. All right, you Secret World people, Ginger, listen up.
Yay!
They're announcing their first content update coming July 21st.
So yay!
We are excited, they say, to be able to share with you the details on the content that will go into the first update for the Secret World, July 21st. And never scroll, Corey. Why did I scroll?
Never scroll.
Yes. These content updates are going to be called issues, much like they are in City of Heroes. And the first issue will be titled Unleashed, which will contain several exciting investigation missions, nightmare mode for two more dungeons, and a marketplace feature, and much, much more. The issue number one is the first of many updates to come, and Funcom has revealed earlier in the week that the company will introduce a new update every month going forward. That's very ambitious and interesting. Let me see if I got some information. Wow, I love the picture that they sent for us. Again, this is for mature players only. You young ones, stay out. The new missions, one of the first ones we call Carter Unleashed. It's an action mission set in Innsmouth Academy on Solomon Island. You been there yet, Ginger?
I have not.
Okay. This is where players get to know more about the exceptionally gifted student Carter. Exploring the hallway below the academy, Carter will need help controlling her powers before they are completely out of hand. Another mission is called Crime and Punishment. Best-selling horror author Sam Krieg came to Solomon Island to write his latest novel, but there's more to it than that. Through his investigation, the player will dig into Krieg's works and the mind of an obsessed fan to learn more about the dark and hidden story of Solomon Island. So, Helen Bach, and I said that right, Bach, like Bach the composer, daredevil reporter Daniel Bach is working on the story of all stories, his shot at finally winning a Pulitzer. For years, he's been chasing the ghost of Theodore Walker, only to end up trapped at the Overlook Motel outside Kingsmouth Town. You been there yet?
Nope. Nope.
Come on, Ginger. You got travel. See, this is why y'all need me to go in there. Ginger doesn't travel. Ginger's the killer, and I'm the explorer. So she would watch my back while I go over the top of the mountain. Okay, Ginger, make sure no zombies are coming. I'm going to go up here. Okay?
Oh, yeah. So I'm killing this thing. Oh, crap. Where to? Yeah.
Okay, you also got Funeral Crasher. Eleanor Franklin has her cats and her ghosts to keep her company at her mansion in Blue Mountain, and now the ghosts are getting restless. When the dead themselves are spooked, the living must pay heed. Oh, they got a ton of stuff.
They do. The world is massive. Wow. I mean, I'm in this one town, and I've been doing quests for days, and I'm still stuck there. It's like, holy crap, when do I run out of stuff?
Well, they say that you should be noticing some ongoing construction in New York, London, and Seoul as the new tenants prepare to move in. They said, of course, the Secret World is a living world, and it'll keep growing and changing through this issue and all coming monthly issues. And they said issue 2 is already on the way, so if you like this month's content, you're going to love what's coming next. Dr. Aldini is sharpening his scalpels. The Occam triplets are readying their scissors and razors. I like them already. And the first auxiliary weapon is being assembled, so stay tuned for August's major update, which they said they'll be revealing soon, and you can learn about it from us here. And the most beautiful thing about the first issue release, not only does it go live July the 31st, but it's available for free to all players. Not bad, right? Not bad.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Mm-hmm. So all you got to do, see people, we're some of you that are new gamers that are like, you're used to the whole, free to play, but I can buy things model.
Mm-hmm.
This works much better. A subscription-based model where you get your updates for free, you get more bang for your buck. And it's like, what, $10 for, is it even that much? Was it $9.99, $10, $14-something for Secret World? I don't know.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Either way, it's cheaper than buying, something every week from the store.
Yeah. Totally. See, and a lot of people are like, gaming is bad. You know what? If you're broke, gaming is cheaper than going out and going to the clubs and everything else. Just saying.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Although sometimes you do need to go out and drop it like it's hot every once in a while.
Yes. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And then you should send the video to me. Yes, gingergamingatrix.com. Thank you. All right. Be Zombified Deluxe makes its way onto all key mobile platforms, including iPhone, iPad, Android, Windows Phone, Nokia, Symbian, and BlackBerry Playbook.
Yes.
This is what we're talking about when we say universal. It's on everything. Luna Games, the Dutch mobile game developer, today showcased the company's ability to reach consumers across all mobile devices and deliver a true cross-platform gaming experience, regardless of the smartphone or tablet of the consumer. Be Zombified Deluxe is made available across all key mobile platforms. I already read that. B-Zombified Deluxe and B-Zombified Classic are known for its original match 3 gameplay with a twist. Besides matching 3 similar items, the players needs to find and match zombie body parts. The key to unlocking the higher levels lies in the player's ability to make such zombie combos and use the power-ups wisely. The new deluxe edition is offered across all platforms for free and can be downloaded via the lunagames.com website. Furthermore, the B-Zombified Classic version is playable directly on the Luna Games website through a separate Flash version. Alright, so again, this is called B-Zombified Deluxe. So head over there, check it out. It's at lunagames.com. No? Alright, so Corey got quiet. I'm hoping her...
I was talking to you, but you know, apparently I bumped...
Okay.
Look, I bumped my mute button. Ha! Doesn't happen.
Girl, I did that like 3 times in a row the other day. I was like, wow. I'm talented.
I was asking you to do the bee sting. And you said no, like you heard me, so I didn't even say...
Do the bees sting.
Yeah, do
yes,
they
do. Yes, they do. I got stung on the face a while back. It was not fun.
No, I mean in the game.
Oh, I don't know.
What are we going to do without Ginger? Ginger, I have suggested you take the weekend off. You've been working a little too hard this week, really.
Girl, seriously, I'm thinking about it. I'm half tempted to be all like, you know what? We're just going to pack up and go and be all disconnected, and I'm going to sleep. And
I think you need to. I would like to also thank the people at Aeon for sending me a German press release. Yeah.
Nice.
Thanks.
Hey, Aeon. I'll come visit you again someday.
Cannot read it. All right. Well, I will tell you this much. You people that have Blackberries, you might want to start getting away from them. Yeah, because it's the rumor is going around. Developers are abandoning the BlackBerry 10.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. According to a survey by Baird Equity Research, developers are defecting from RIM's upcoming BlackBerry operating system months before it even gets released. Wow. On a 10-point scale, developer outlook for BlackBerry 10 fell from 4.6 to 3.8. Unsurprisingly, the BlackBerry 7 story is similarly dire. Outlook on that front dropped from 3.8 to 2.8, which is slightly higher than the reported interest in HP's semi-dead web operating system. Arguably more troubling, according to VentureBeat, for the second quarter in a row, over 30% of developers said they have shifted projects away from BlackBerry 10 to another platform. And where do they go? To Droid.
Mm-hmm. Droid.
To make matters worse, BlackBerry 10's interest numbers are only marginally higher than those for Adobe Airs and Flash platforms, the latter of which even Adobe is dropping support for. Clearly not so many people are interested in developing for RIM's mobile platform. Not good at all. While little of this is surprising in light of RIM's persistent struggles, it does serve as further evidence that RIM has no one in its corner. Consumers, investors, and now even developers are abandoning the RIM ship like rats. And at this rate, there won't be anyone left to even steer it. While little of this is surprising in the light of RIM's persistent struggles, it does. What? Didn't I just read that? What is with the repeating thing going on with people today?
I don't know. I'm so glad to know that it's not just me, though.
Oh, my God. That is so weird. Okay, but anyway, in the spirit of Friday the 13th, here's some good news. Developer outlook for all variants of Windows 8 sits at 6.3, a slight drop from the previous quarter, but a still respectably high number. We may finally have a third horse in the smartphone platform race. As for the Droid and iOS, they're still doing all right for themselves. Developers rated their outlook for the Google operating system at 8.7, leaving Apple with its predictable crown at 9.3. Wow. You know what? I've seen one BlackBerry phone in the past 3 years. One.
You know, I'm trying to think. I think my brother had one. I don't know if he still does, but I think he did have one. Yes, he did. Yes, he did, because he got it secondhand and it had boob photos on it. Sorry.
Oh, that's fun. Oh, I would like to say hello to the guys over at Ouya who sent us a hello. Hello back to you.
Hello, Ouya folks. Is that how you say it, Ouya?
Well, they didn't correct us, so I'm going to say that's probably how you say it. They didn't say you're saying it wrong, so they were like, hi. So hi back.
Awesome. Hello, Ouya guys. You know who we've not heard from yet? Not heard from.
Who?
Plantronics? Yes. Still not heard from you.
They make good headsets, but they are very sexist. Did you email them? What did you ask them, Ginger?
I should email them. I should email them.
You should email them. And you know what? I may email them while on air. We would like a comment. You know what? I'm going to save it for Monday. I'm going to email them after the show, but we're going to save whatever comment they send us till Monday because I need a really good response.
Ginger.
Yeah.
All right, so Zombie HQ plagues iOS devices with more than 1 million downloads in 10 days. Mobile game publisher Fused Powered, in collaboration with renowned development studio Rebellion, today announced that Zombie HQ, a recently released iOS game, has surpassed the 1 million downloads mark in only 10 days. To celebrate the impressive milestone with players, Fused Powered has discounted several premium packs, The Fixer, Home Renovator, Zombie Exterminator, and Fashion Critic. Ooh, what's this Fashion Critic thing? I need to know. Channeling their inner zombie hunter, players must fend off the undead and rescue survivors to earn relaxation time as one of the few remaining humans in Zombie HQ. After a hard day's work of zombie killing and leveling up, players can kick back in their headquarters, an ultimate man cave with pool tables, hot tubs, television, turntables, and more. Zombie HQ is currently free with optional in-game purchases such as the Fixer, Home Renovator, Zombie Exterminator, and Fashion Critic Packs on the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. All right, so we'll be playing your game. Yeah, the Fixer, Home Renovator, Zombie Exterminator, and Fashion Critic can be downloaded for a limited time for $19.99.
What?
Down from the regular price of, are you ready for it, $99.99.
Wait a minute, what is this thing again? Is it a game or is it some kind of...
Zombie HQ seems like a game, but these, the Fixer, Home Renovator, Zombie Exterminator, and Fashion Critic are all like expansions. Sounds like, or add-ons of some
sort.
Where
can I find this business?
On the iPhone, the iPad, and the iPod Touch.
I'm going to look this up because, you know, apparently I was very bored while I was waiting for power to come back on, so I even started playing a game. So you hear that lovely fashion music because fashion always has to have that music.
It's like a secret world in the background.
Because you will notice. Okay, what is it? The zombie something?
Zombie HQ.
Zombie HQ. Let's see what's going on with this business. I'm curious. I'm really curious as to what they've done.
And I want to know. Holy
it's
crap,
free.
$10. It's free. And then $10 for these packs, for these add-ons. What on?
This makes. Oh, what the? No. No, you people are out of order.
That is expensive for some add-on packs.
No, it's expensive for what I'm looking at. You people must be crazy.
Is it crap? Is it total crap?
It's difficult to tell. You know, I don't really know what this is. This is bad when I can't tell what it is. Okay, there's zombie killing, apparently, and I don't like that it has a screen on the outside. I'm not digging that at all. See, y'all getting a live review. This is what I'm doing. It has like a screen that's an overlay, and then you're looking at the game, which looks like it may not be too bad. It's like a three-quarter view, which I'm usually not fond of, but it's got some decent effects, it looks like.
Yeah.
It's not – oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, you have to wait to recharge your things. The reviews are not good, and these are just from players. So when the players are giving it bad, sad. And the other part is, looks like they do some really, Fuse Power, they made Scarface for the iPad, which is a simulator. I'm going to need y'all to, when are we going to get some real developers on the iPad? I'm sorry. I'm serious. Because it's not that the iPad is a bad thing. It's that it's a waste because people don't know what to do to develop it. We have developers that are not thinking of the power that you have behind it and what you can do. Seriously. You got the location-based thing. You got the motion thing. There's a whole lot of ton of stuff you can do. Imagine a medical game on here, how awesome it would be.
Ooh, that'd be hot.
If you had to do surgery. I'm telling you, I'd love that. You do surgery and you got to keep the iPad still. Or you got to tilt it a certain way. Maybe the blood, if it's blood, you got to try to run off into the... Man, I could do a whole bunch of stuff. Anyway, I wanted to see that because...
What happened was...
Yeah, I wanted to take a look at that while we were on the air. Okay, so some of you out there need to be aware of this. This was actually yesterday. We didn't get to fit it in, but I want to make sure we tell you there's some news that broke that Yahoo had a security breach.
Yahoo?
Yeah, and 435,000 usernames and passwords have been hacked. The login credentials are in plain text. They're not even encrypted. So the biggest...
Are you kidding me? Yahoo!
Yeah, the biggest question users have had when this happens is, have my username and password been released? A number of services can answer that. One is called Should I Change My Password, if you want to go check that out. And that is the website, shouldichangemypassword.com, which has two great features that differentiate it from some others. One, of course, is the ability to check anonymously based on email address which people may have had their username, which many.
Right, what's this link again?
shouldichangemypassword.com. This is helpful because you don't have to enter your password into the service, and you don't know if you can trust or not, just to check your password has indeed been compromised. Secondly, you can sign up to receive notifications in the future if your email address is ever involved in another hacking incident. Again, you can go to shouldichangemypassword.com. The site automatically checks you against millions of emails and passwords leaking in numerous security breaches. So if your email address is among those that have been hacked and released, this is what you'll see. It'll say on the screen, your email, your username, email, and password have been compromised at least, you know, so many times. The most recent recorded occurrence is whatever date. You should change all your passwords as soon as possible. Ensure that each password has at least 10 characters in length and a combination of random upper and lowercase letters, numbers, and symbols. Do not reuse the same password across multiple sites. The person who broke this story is, of course, over AdventureBeat, and said that he personally downloaded a few hundred thousand of the username and passwords and tried unsuccessfully to log into a number of Yahoo accounts. This particular service can give you at least some confidence that others won't be trying the same with your private account. So, yeah, Ginger's already over there.
Ginger's having a hard time getting this open, but I'm trying.
Yeah, anybody out there, if you have Yahoo, and most of us have an email on at least one or two of the services. So
I've got a few.
Yeah, I got more than a few. I probably have upwards of 15 different emails. Upwards of 15. So, yeah, wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe Yahoo got hacked. And this is, people, why we need a bigger network. Remember to tell your friends, listen to us here at Gamer Girls Radio. Watch our new website. We are leaning to go full multimedia. So make sure you keep an eye on us. You know what our first big story is going to be is, remember we were talking about last night, Kickstarter? Yeah, we're going to be having a talk about that. There would be a whole show about that, a story. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking about something. We must share. Anyway, we're down to 3 minutes live. So if you want to get up and go get yourself a drink or something, go ahead and go, because we're not going to be here live after the next 3 minutes. And we're probably only going to run, we say, about, 15 minutes over, we might give you.
Yeah, maybe.
We give you another 10, 15 minutes over on the other side. I remember, you know where to find us, GamerNatrix.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com. Otherwise, you can download to hear the rest of this. And we're glad you came with us. Be careful out there Friday the 13th. It's only a bad day if you think it is.
Yes, yes, yes. Watch out for black cats. Watch out for cracks in the pavement.
No, Ginger, that's what I just said. It's only a bad day if you think it is. No cats. Don't worry about
that. Watch out for flesh-eating zombies.
Pick up the black cats and kiss them while standing on the crack in the sidewalk. That'll get rid of your bad luck if you think you had it.
Yes, something. Be careful, folks. Either way, it's Friday the 13th.
Yes, or at least come over here and pick up Kit Natrix, because she's getting on my nerves.
Yes, yes, yes.
She's been meowing at the thunder.
I'd take her.
And hiding under the table and peeking out and meowing at it. You have to wonder, what does she think that is? There's a giant stepping out in the grass.
Apparently.
It's a giant human and it's after me.
It wants to eat you. Yum, nom, 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 nom.
And y'all see why we keep Ginger around. She makes us laugh. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nom, nom, nom.
Mm-mm.
Sorry, I'm over here kind of bouncing to this music.
Let me turn it up for a second. Yep, we see you guys on the other side. on the other side. Yay. It's hot.
It's totally, totally, totally hot.
I do like that song. I'm going to put that in somewhere. Plantronics, by the way, you're about to get cut, just so you know. It's coming.
What happened?
Might not want to turn you back, Plantronics. Might not want to turn you back.
Uh-oh. Are you threatening him?
Oh, I'm threatening him.
So what did they say? Did they say something?
Oh, I haven't seen them yet. You got to wait till after.
Okay. All right, well, then I guess is it my turn, or did I read that? All right, we got more stuff. Open says me. All right, fine. I don't want to read that one. Flying Princess, Alpha Games, a new game to be released on July 14th of 2012. So that's tomorrow, folks. Flying Princess is the new game for Aleph, an indie company from Brazil. It is about throw a princess to grab coins. It has a story mode and the noteworthy endless mode. You know what? Never mind. If your press releases are this bad, I don't want to read them. I'm sorry. I know. I'm horrible. The Trouble with Robots. The Trouble with Robots is set in a fantasy world that's having a bit of trouble with, well, robots. Having arrived on a giant spaceship, the robots utterly fail to perceive that this magical world isn't quite the same as the high-tech society they came from. Players prepare for each level by building a deck, selecting from 40 cards in the game. The cards they choose determine what kind of army they can summon and what spells they have to support it. The player can rely on powerful units like trolls and dragons, ranged units like elven archers, or an enormous horde of angry peasants. The Trouble with Robots will include 18 story levels and 4 challenge levels. Players travel through a variety of locations and meet increasingly powerful robots as the humorous story evolves. Finally, there is a special limited mode for extended play. All right, so that's over at thetroublewithrobots.com. It is for the PC. It's a card game. Side-scrolling perspective, real-time gameplay. So if that's... Oh, my good lord, that's loud. If that's your kind of thing, head over there and check it out.
Do it. Oh, I'm sorry. Were we supposed to do something?
Yeah. I think so, maybe, possibly. I think that's what these folks came for. I don't know. So what you guys came for?
Well,
what happened was...
There is two juicies, I must say.
Two juicies?
Yes, two juicies. All right, so first I want to tell you, remember that game, Kingdoms of Amalur, the one they didn't want to send us a copy of? They did, and they didn't, mm-hmm. And then we were very happy that they didn't because it was horrible. Eurogamer and GI.biz are reporting that 38 Studios collapse. It says the collapse at 38 Studios is quite unfortunate, but the quality of the studio's Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning wasn't to blame. I believe it was. In fact, the game reviewed well enough to that publisher EA would be interested in partnering on a sequel. I think not. I think no, definitely no. Mr. Gabeau, or Frank Gabeau, is saying, I think it's unfortunate how everything worked out for 38 Studios. He said, at the end of the day, we saw a lot of creativity and vision in the team that Kurt Schilling put together. We thought the game was terrific. It reviewed well. We built a good business there, and we hope there's a sequel to it someday. We'd love to be a partner to that. That's what EA is saying. Frank Gabeau. He says, at this point, it's difficult to see a sequel getting made, as the Kingdoms of Amalur intellectual property rights are actually owned by the state of Rhode Island, which remains in the process of trying to reclaim 38's massive government loan. On top of that, many of the team at Big Huge Games were hired by Epic Games to create a Baltimore studio, so if EA ever got the rights and managed to spearhead development on a sequel, it would have to be led by a largely different set of developers, which I think may be a good thing. I don't know why it reviewed well. When I played it, I said, this is a horrible bunch of drivel.
A horrible bunch of drivel.
It really...
That bad?
It was that bad. All of this... The camera angles were swinging too wildly. You know, in this day and age, you need to allow the player to control the camera. It's just...
Yes! Oh, my God. That is my biggest complaint with MMOs and games in general nowadays, is I don't have control of my camera.
Yeah, I need
to... Give me my camera.
Yeah, or at least put it stationary. It doesn't need to swing all around crazy like that. Leave it in one place and I'm fine, or let me control it so that if I'm messing up, it's nobody's fault with my own. I love that about Assassin's Creed. If I feel like being down by his feet, I'm by his feet. If I'm above him, if I want to go from the side while he's walking, I can. And then once I let the key go, it swings back behind me. So we need a stationary spot. Yeah, but this business, oof.
And that's the main thing. I want to be able to move my camera. I like taking screenshots and pictures. Mm-hmm. And it annoys me that I can only get them from this angle or that angle because your camera is, like, stuck on some weird rotation around my body.
Amens. Amens.
Oh, that annoys me.
A women's is. Look, amens and a women's is for that.
A women's is.
A women's is and amens. Yes. You know how to make more sense. Oh, wait, and I've got my second one.
Okay.
Mr. David Goldfarb has left EA's DICE studio after 5 years.
He has left the building? Oh, no.
David has left the building. He's kind of cute.
Oh, is he cute?
Got a quick and dirty look about him. Anyway, he's one of the lead designers at EA's DICE studio. And after 5 years, he said it was time to move on. During his time with the Swedish studio, Goldfarb contributed to a number of high-profile projects as lead designer and lead writer on Battlefield 3 and Battlefield Bad Company 2, and also worked on Mirror's Edge. Yeah, Mirror's Edge. He says 5 years, 4 games. Grateful to have worked with such awesome people on awesome games. Farewell, plus onward. He added on Twitter. Previous to DICE, he spent 2 years with Guerrilla Games on PlayStation shooter Killzone 2. He's not announced what he's going to be up to next. We hope it's something that will allow him to look just the way he's looking now in this picture, like we want to bite him. Luscious lips, wow, nice, David.
We want to go nom 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 nom
nom nom nom nom nom. I love it when they have the shaved head and then they have the beard and stuff. And it's not long. It's just a little shadow he's got. He's hot.
Very nice.
We got to be the only news show that's talking about how hot the
developers are. You know what? That is something we need to know.
They do it to us. They do it to us, though.
So. Oh. Hey, Ben, you may have wanted to wait till today.
Ooh, what happened?
GameStop offers 30% bonus to trade-in cash used to purchase Steam gift cards.
Oh,
if you prefer to spend your hard-earned cash on digital goods but also want to trade in some of your used games too, then GameStop is offering a deal worth mentioning. For the remainder of Steam's massive summer sale trade-ins and games, GameStop will net you an additional 30% in value if you put that credit towards the purchase of a Steam gift card. The deal runs until July 23rd. GameStop introduced the Steam gift cards in its store last month, and we assume that they are earning Valve and GameStop some decent returns. Steam does have something to say. They say, get an extra 30% in store credit when you trade your old games toward the purchase of Steam wallet currency during the Steam summer sale. Trades must be in full working condition to receive full value, cannot be combined with any other offer, trade-in subject to manager approval, offer valid only towards games normally accepted in trade. See store associate for details. No dealers. Offer valid in the United States, Puerto Rico, and Guam only. Void where prohibited. GameStop Inc. reserves the right to cancel, terminate, modify, and suspend the offer for any reason. Yeah.
Wow, that is lovely. Okay.
Yeah. I couldn't say it. Prohibited. I can say it, see?
Prohibited.
Don't you be prohibited, man.
You is prohibited.
No! I want to be free.
Well, I know some people that are going to be very happy to be free to quake and shake.
Oh, yeah.
QuakeCon 2012.
Okay, and that's in Dallas, right?
I will let you know in just a moment. The world's most competitive Quake Live players will come together to go head-to-head at QuakeCon this year, being held August 2nd through the 5th at Hilton Anatolia in Dallas, Texas. Vying for their share of over $30,000 in prize money, top professionals will compete in the Quake Live Do-One Invitational Masters Championship, as well as the Intel-sponsored Quake Live Capture the Flag Open, Quake Live Amateur Duel, and Quake Live Random Draw free-for-all tournaments as well. QuakeCon is free and open to the public. Do you hear that, Ginger? Free and open to the public. It brings together some of the greatest players in the world to participate in a highly competitive tournament. Matches will also be broadcast live each day at the competition on large screens with play-by-play commentary from this year's shoutcasters who will be unveiling excitement and energy and behind-the-scenes chaos that unfolds with live match coverage, player interviews, and player analysis. QuakeCon tournament lineup will be as follows. The QuakeCon Live Do-One Invitational Masters Championships. This is also this features known professionals and top best Quake Live players, hand-selected by tournament staff from the open online registration. They'll face off on a one-versus-one duel for 20,000 big ones, and we're sitting in your lap shortly after you win. This is in a single elimination bracket, so you better be badass with each match played in the best of three games format. With two competitors remaining, thousands will gather to watch as these two best of the best survivors go head-to-head in a single elimination best of five games throwdown with $9,000 check written to the champion.
Ouch, that is nice.
Yes, the tournament will feature a pool of the following five arenas: Arrow Walk, Blood Run, Furious Heights, Lost World, and Toxicity. Toxicity. The Intel also, the next one will be five Capture the Flag, will feature four versus four competitions for up to eight teams battling it out in the double elimination bracket and best of three games format, including concluding in a best of five grand total. Players who come out on top will net themselves a cool $7,000, including $4,000 for the team of champions. The tournament will feature a pool of the following arenas: Ironworks, Japanese Castles, Reflux, and Spider Crossings, and also Stone Keep. You also have the Quick Live Duel Open, which is available for up to 64 amateur players like myself, which I'll probably get killed like first round if I'm going to play. The Intel Quick Live Duel Open will offer up-and-coming competitors a test of the excitement and pressure of professional gaming, battling for a share of $2,000, including $1,000 for the champion. Players will compete in a single elimination bracket, with each match played in a best-of-three games format. The tournament will feature a pool of the following five arenas: Battleforge, Campgrounds, Hectic, House of Decay, and Frantic. That's spelled with PH, by the way. There's also a random draw free-for-all. Over the course of 3 days, the Quick Live Free Play booth will be the home to the Intel Quick Live Random Draw Free-for-all, where attendees can battle for a share of $1,000. Each eight lucky participants will be drawn at random from the crowd to compete in a five-minute FFA challenge, with the victor of each challenge winning $100, which ain't bad. Matches in the Random Draw Free-for-all will all be played in the best of one game format on a randomly selected map from Almost Lost, Asylum, Campgrounds, Cliffside, Devilish, Leviathan, Longest Yard, Quarantine, Retribution, and Trinity. One challenge entry per attendee must be present to participate. You can register online by going to the registration.quickcon.org between today, 12 noon, and July 31st. 12 noon Central Standard Time, by the way, so that's right now. Now!
Yay! Do it now, folks.
Registration for Quick Live Duel Open is first come, first served, so additional on-site registration will be available to fill any remaining tournament slots. Interested parties, come by their tournament on-site area at QuakeCon from noon to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time on Thursday, August the 2nd for participation availability. If you change your mind and say at the last minute, I want to enter, there's also the official rules up at their site, prize money distribution, all that good stuff. You can go to quakecon.org/tournament. Nice, right? Nice.
Yes, I'm thinking I may have to go and stop in and say hey to people. That's not too far away. That's only like a 2.5-hour drive. I may have to go. I really do.
We will send the gingers up to report live.
I was yawning. Good Lord, I know, right? Is there a party afterwards? That's what I need to know.
No, there's not a party after that one. That's the one that doesn't do parties. unless you get with the winner and be like, baby, I have always
party
loved
in my place.
Look, baby, I have always loved you. What's your name?
Oh my goodness! No, that's all right. I don't need any strangeness. All right, so do we got time for another one or what?
Yep, got just over a minute, but we're not in a rush. So read it out, and then we're out.
From the ashes of Spellbound Entertainment comes Black Forest Games. Gothic 4 developer Spellbound Entertainment has risen from the ashes of bankruptcy to become a brand new company called Black Forest Games. The development studio is being staffed by 40 of its 65 former employees and is still based in Germany. With its financial troubles in the rearview mirror, the company hopes to get back to making the best strategy and role-playing games that it can make. Black Forest Games will add to the legacy of Spellbound Entertainment by empowering the core of the team to build an even greater company that is tuned to today's market opportunities, comments CEO Andreas Speer. With the talent and IP we have internally, Wina will again be recognized as a leader in the creation of games for the RPG and strategy genres. Gothic 4 ended up being the last game made by Spellbound before it ran into its financial trouble. While Gothic 4 wasn't the worst role-playing game ever made, the entry in the popular RPG series owned by Piranha Bytes didn't fill a true Gothic RPG sequel. The rights to the game are still owned by Piranha Bytes, and licensing for it has reverted back to the developer. which means that if there is another game in the series, it will return to its roots. Hopefully, Black Forest Games can get back to making games that have a modest appeal in both Europe and the United States. And the writer says we wish them the best of luck moving forward. We do, too, because nobody should be out of a job.
Mm-hmm. Sadly. Okay, I got to add one more to that Google story.
Okay.
That Yahoo story, rather. There's also an update saying if your Yahoo account was hacked, there's also a chance your Gmail, Hotmail, Verizon, and other email accounts are vulnerable as well. The New York Times is reporting that among the over 400,000 Yahoo usernames and passwords that were exposed were a number of login credentials for Gmail, Hotmail, Comcast, MSN, Verizon, AOL, SBC Global Live, and Live.com accounts. Security firm Rapid7 found that the dump contained over 106,000 Gmail accounts credentials. Specifically, if you woke up and found out that you had been exposed, a new hacking collective Deeds company claimed responsibility for the hack today, saying it simply wants security team to notice how insecure their systems are. So apparently they're not doing anything with the data, thank goodness. The New York Times grabbed the comment before it was erased from Deeds' post, which also included the logins and passwords. It says, we hope that the parties responsible for managing security of this subdomain will take this as a wake-up call and not as a threat. There have been many security holes exploited in web servers belonging to Yahoo, Inc. that have caused far greater damage than our disclosure. Please do not take them lightly. The subdomain and vulnerable parameters have not been posted to avoid further damage. That's how you are a hacker. I appreciate that. Yahoo is saying the breach comes from its Yahoo contributor network, Whoa, which allows users to sign up using Yahoo. God! Oh, no. It's also possible that a number of these accounts were exposed using the same passwords across multiple accounts. Might be easier to remember your passwords this way, but consider this. Are your Yahoo and online banking passwords are the same? No, they're not, thank God. Good. Stop listening to us and go change your passwords. Again, you can go find out by shouldichangemypassword.com. Yahoo, I hate you.
Oh, now come on. You don't hate them.
I'm going to need for you all to actually be who you say you are and be secure. This sucks. Anyway, with that, it's time for us to go bye-bye. It's the weekend, baby.
Yes.
So we'll see you guys bright and early Monday. Yeah, enjoy. Go change your passwords.
Yeah, that's totally what I'm going to be doing, 50 million different passwords.
Yeah.
That's what I needed was, you know, extra thought work. Of my accounts being, extra work too, right?
Extra work to do today. That's what we wanted. I don't know about you, but that's what I said when I woke up. I think I want to do some extra work.
Exactly. No, when I woke up, I was like, I think I want to take this alarm clock and throw it out my window. I know, it was like, I went to bed directly after I signed off with y'all last night, so.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, apparently GLaDOS does not want us to do the closing music, so Ginger, give them their bye-bye kisses. Let's send these people on their way.
Later, boys and girls. Mwah!